Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Sabotage is the most likely cause of leaks in two Baltic Sea gas pipelines between Russia and Europe, according to European leaders. Seismologists reported explosions around the Nord Stream pipelines. Now, Russia has concluded holding the so-called referendums on four occupied territories in which they demanded voters request accession into the Russian Federation. For more on this, I'm joined by Dr. Patrick Bury, who's Senior Lecturer in Security at the University of Bath. Good morning, Patrick, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Claire.
It seems that European leaders are under no illusions that sabotage is the most likely cause of those leaks in the two Baltic Sea gas pipelines. Explain to us what Russia would have to benefit from this.
Yeah, the Nord Stream ones. Well, this is the big question, you know, where these incidents happen is who benefits. So if we work out what we know so far about there's two pipelines, Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2, they're about between 50 and 70 metres. The explosions, which look like they were, happened in parts of the pipeline which aren't in territorial waters and therefore wouldn't trigger any sort of immediate talk of a NATO response, for example. And there were two explosions on Nord Stream 1, which was running at 20% capacity, I understand, and one explosion on Nord Stream 2, which is a new £20 billion pipeline, which hasn't actually opened because the sanctions hit and Germany turned off the go-ahead for that. So who would benefit from that? Russia has put a lot of political and economic capital into opening Nord Stream 2, and deciding to at this stage, especially with a pipeline that's not running at full capacity with one or empty with two, to blow it up would seem slightly irrational, actually, if you think it through.
Yeah.
So unless it was designed, the only real explanation you could have of one of a few ones, but a potentially probable one, is that there was a decision to blow it up before, when Germany was relying on it to increase its stockpiles, and that was delayed, and it's happened now. But again, it doesn't seem the most probable explanation.
I'm just taking a look on the wires at what's been happening since. So this morning, Norwegian police say they're reinforcing security around the petroleum industry. Germany, the defence minister there, also talking about just how vulnerable and worthy of protection our critical infrastructure is, and they're talking about beefing up security too. The Danish defence minister is going to Brussels today to talk about these leaks with the NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg. I mean, this is really ramping up tension around this energy security issue.
It is, yeah, but you've got to remember that the Nord Stream 1 in particular, as I said, was only down to 20%, you know, supply. So, you know, the effect of it, of actually being this sort of strategic shock on the West, isn't as what it would have been earlier on. I think what's interesting is you have seen the US send up some of their air surveillance assets around the Russian enclave of Kaliningrad in the Baltic. And they have obviously a naval facility there. And the US is trying to work out exactly what was going on there, it seemed, by circling around the sea, because potentially a Russian vessel, you know, you don't need a submarine to go down to this. You could do it with military divers too, had been involved. So they were trying to ascertain. To muddy the waters further, the former Polish defense minister, you know, looking at who benefits, immediately sort of pointed the finger at the CIA, saying that Biden had said, you know, back in February that the Nord Stream 2 would come to a swift close if there was any Russian invasion of Ukraine. So it does remain a mystery at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose when it comes to gas supplies, as you say, and you've explained it really reasonably, that it's not going to have a massive impact. But if you have Norway, Denmark and Germany ramping up security and the populations there being fearful of some sort of sabotage, that takes this all up a notch.
It's the normal response. What you do is, if the intelligence is leading them to believe that this is a Russian op, or that's what they have to plan off at the moment, the next step is to look at your critical national infrastructure and start to think, well, is that under threat? Is this what the escalation is? Is Russia now happy to send teams into these NATO members? But don't forget here, Claire, that this wasn't on NATO territory. It's a big, big difference between doing something in the sea and doing something on the inside the territorial waters, or even indeed on land of a NATO member.
Okay, fair enough. Let's talk about the referenda that have been held by Russia. The Institute for the Study of War has said the results released by Russia are implausible. So each referendum has purportedly received between 87 and 99% approval from Ukrainian residents who voted. And what does Vladimir Putin hope that he will gain from holding these votes?
I think, yeah, obviously, sham referenda, we can all see that. But I think his point is that bolsters his hand in two ways. One, he can say to the Russian people, look, this has actually been successful. I've now got these territories. He'll probably go to the Russian parliament. I think he's due to speak on Friday and ask them to approve the annexation. So that's his first win, first point. And the second one is, and this is the more worrying one, is that he's talked about using his strategic nuclear, or his nuclear weapons, to basically deter NATO from getting involved in a major way with any boots on the ground or any, you know, involvement that way. That's been what he's done with his previous threats. But now that, because this may look at may turn out now to be, in his view, Russian territory, then he's seeking to throw that nuclear umbrella, as it were, over those provinces. And the problem is here is that usually Russia would rely on their army, their conventional army, to basically be able to win a war for them so that they don't have to use nuclear weapons. The problem is that conventional army is losing and is going on the defensive. Ukrainians are still even making gains in some areas. And so the risk is, the more the Ukrainians succeed on the ground, actually the risk of using a low-yield weapon becomes more likely, unfortunately, than less.
Patrick, thank you very much. Dr. Patrick Bury there, Senior Lecturer in Security at the University of Bath. I just want to bring you a bit of analysis from the Financial Times, which has just arrived in the past few minutes. This is in reference to the chaotic few days in the UK economy. The FT says, after yet another pukey day for the UK government bond market, the Bank of England has had enough and has promised to buy whatever scale of long-term gilts to restore orderly market conditions. Now, in a statement this morning, the bank says were dysfunction in this market to continue or worsen, there would be a material risk to UK financial stability. They go on to say the Bank of England stands ready to restore market functioning and reduce any risks from contagion to credit conditions for UK households and businesses. To achieve this, the bank will carry out temporary purchases of long-dated UK government bonds from the 28th of September. The purpose of these purchases will be to restore orderly market conditions. The purchases will be carried out on whatever scale is necessary to affect this outcome. And I heard analysis this morning which suggested that interest rates could hit 6%, which would mean that if you're a mortgage holder in the UK, you could be looking at an interest rate of 7-8% at the least. Coming up in the next few minutes, Dr. Maura Finn will be back with us for part two of a conversation about infertility in both men and women. This week, Maura is going to focus on the treatments available. So if you would like to get a question in, there's still time. You can text us 51551 or email today cb@rte.ie, and Dr. Maura Finn will be with us after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.